The World's Greatest Swordswoman. Written by Maldoror. Read by Opalsong. Fandom, One Piece. Rating, PG-13. Category, Gen. We need to catch us a big fish. Some high-priced head that will get us into the big league bounty hunting, said Bender, staring moodily into his beer. His gang acquiesced. All four of them. Bender hadn't expected them to say no. They weren't part of his gang for their ability to think for themselves. Bender was the one with the smarts and the devil fruit ability. His four underlings were there to provide muscle and to say, yeah, from time to time. Also to carry stuff, such as provisions, weapons, Bender's victims, and Bender's money once he'd turned in, sold, ransomed, or otherwise profited from said victims.
But boss, where are we gonna find a guy with a big bounty? Said Igor, the smartest of the four minions,
meaning that he might, with a bit of help, outthink a sea cucumber.
Well, not in this crummy dead-end bar, Bender snapped, and found himself shoved nose-first into his beer stein when the swinging door behind him opened, with a bit more force than expected.
Sorry, somebody behind him muttered, trudging towards the bar. Hey, you over there, can I have a jug of sake and a good set of directions to the harbor? I'm lost.
The harbor? Said the barkeep stupidly. The harbor was two blocks away. The bar was called the Sailor's Rest, and one could lob the counter's fossilized pretzels out the window and bean a seagull.
Bender, said Igor. Want me to go hurt that idiot?
No, said Bender, with what he thought was remarkable calm as he wiped beer off his chin.
No? Why not? He made you spill your booze.
Because we are going to do our usual number on him, drag him to the nearest marine outpost, and collect a 120 million berry bounty, said Bender, still quite calmly, though something in his head had started to rattle and pulse, possibly the little abacus on which he kept a running estimate of his bank account.
Don't you dunces even read the wanted posters we drag around? Never mind, Bender added, as he remembered that Igor was the only one who could read, as long as there weren't more than one syllable ganging up on him.
Who's that guy, then?
He's Rorona Zoro, and he's our ticket to the big league. Get ready. Rorona Zoro looked indifferently over his shoulder at the four bruisers surrounding him, and then returned his attention once more to the barkeep, only to find that the pot-bellied old man had dropped the glass he was cleaning and ducked behind his counter with the instinct for trouble of his profession. In fact, the entire bar had emptied with alacrity. Bender had a very evil reputation. This was a tough town, a tough tavern, a tough island full of desperate, hard-bitten men. But they were all of the opinion that what Bender did to his victims with that devil fruit power of his was just wrong. Cutthroat bounty hunters everywhere, the ones who'd turn in their own mothers for cigarette money, would console themselves in their cups that at least they didn't do to people what that bastard Bender did to them.
If you fellows can't lead me to the harbor, then leave me the hell alone, Rorona growled as he turned towards the gang. Bender didn't bother with warnings or fair fights.
As soon as he was the requisite 10 feet away, he struck. The beam of his switch-switch fruit power darted out, invisible but for a faint whisper and warping of the bar's muggy air. Zorro looked at the incoming wave and made no attempt to dodge it. Either he did not recognize the danger, or he decided to find out what it was and then beat it up. A fatal mistake. The pulse of power hit him, and the disorientation that came with it made him stagger back against the counter with a grunt, a couple of swords singing as they cleared their scabbards. But too late. Bender and his gang smirked. Igor wolf whistled. And that's where the usual number went very wrong. For starters, the zap didn't knock Rorona out. It just made him shake his head and growl. Loudly. Then he looked down at himself, and he didn't wig out. Igor wolf whistled again, just in case Rorona had missed it the first time. But Bender started to frown. There was no way a man like Rorona would not notice that he'd just lost a couple of inches of height, 12 pounds, and above all, that he'd swapped his family jewels for a couple of bumps down the front of his shirt. Or, to be technical now, her shirt. And there was no way that this wouldn't freak him or anybody out. But all Rorona did was squint down at his chest, then lift his right arm and stare at the smaller, somewhat more delicate hand holding the white-hilted sword steady, and say, "Huh, how about that?" The victims didn't always black out from the impact of sudden dramatic changes to their body composition, and some didn't become hysterical or catatonic with shock, and reacted violently instead. That's where Bender's four boys came in handy. They didn't share Bender's growing sense of alarm, they just whipped out their cudgels and attacked. Soon their victim would be subdued and begging for help, and would let himself be led quietly to the Marines, to be turned in and changed back, rather than stay a girl in the middle of a rough town full of sailors, bounty hunters, and pirates. That was how these things usually went. In Bender's opinion, the worst thing about what happened next was not the thunks, or the blood, or the broken teeth flying, or the cut-off screams. It was the way Rorona's face, softer, sweeter, with a little more silk to the green curls framing it, was studiously intent as he systematically destroyed his opponents. "Not bad," Bender heard the demon mutter to himself once the earth-shattering tremors had died and the last standing barstool had fallen over with a clang. "Missing a couple inches, that dragon twister was on the edge of sloppy. The hole in the roof isn't as big as it should be. Lower center of gravity. Gotta compensate for that." Then he turned towards Bender. Bender drew his sword. It shook in his grasp. Usually the underlings took care of the rough stuff. Rorona was 10 feet away. He made what looked like a lazy sweeping motion with one of his own weapons, and a blast of focused hurricane wind hit Bender's blade and ripped it from his hands. It sank to the hilt in the opposite wall. Zorro's eyes, with longer lashes, but still short enough to lend a boyish charm, narrowed with satisfaction. Bender staggered away from that slow, threatening advance until something hard poked him in the kidneys. He'd backed up into the dusty slot machine which the bar's previous owner had thought would lend the joint a touch of class. The feeling of being trapped kicked Bender into more constructive action. He swapped himself into his own female version in a flash and hit a quavering falsetto just as fast. "Please, you wouldn't hit a girl, right?" Rorona stopped, but only for the time it took to twist his now soft and rosy lips into a sneer. Fuck that. If I'd been a certain blonde pervert I know, that'd have worked. But even at the best of times... Damn. Bender threw down his trump at the approaching menace. "Don't come near me! Get this! My transformations don't wear off! Unless I reverse it, it'll never go away, and they'll bury you in a bra! Understand?" "Really?" the green-haired Harridan asked, taking another step, now within sword's reach. "Is that a fact?" "Yes!" Bender lied at the top of his lungs, pushing back fruitlessly against the unyielding metal and chrome. "So you better give me all your money, and then I'll turn you back and we can call it quits. Otherwise you're stuck as a woman for the rest of your life. What do you say?"
Rorona Zorro lifted his sword, stared right at Bender with a funny old gleam in those demon eyes, and said,
"Thanks."
The rest was a roar of noise, the crazy broken bloing of the slot machine, ringing up two cherries and a lemon one last time, and darkness.
Zorro rounded the corner of the harbor master's home, more by chance than design, and finally spotted the Sunny. Luffy was hanging from the masthead, gaze sweeping from the town to the horizon and back again in an agitated manner.
"Zorro!" Luffy gave him a happy grin, looked out at the sea, swung his head about to give his first mate a slightly longer look, centered on the latter's new bust line, then back up at Zorro's face as he waved excitedly.
"Hurry up! Nami says the log poles will set here if we wait too long, and then we won't be able to sail to Merman Island because we'll be set on another course. Hey, do you know your clothes are too big?"
"Yeah, I'll have to change."
"Do it on board! Let's go!"
Unfortunately, the rest of his nakama didn't take it quite so in stride.
"You mean you shredded the only guy who could reverse this?"
Nami groaned, loudly enough to be heard over the sounds of Sanji thumping his head against the main mast.
"Yeah."
"He's dead?"
"I don't know. How much blood can a guy lose if he's a girl at the time?"
Nami clutched her head. Behind her, Sanji emitted a tortured whimper with "Swan" in there somewhere as he clung desperately to the mast. Franky and Usopp's eyes were glued in disbelief to the shapely mounds beneath Zoro's much looser shirt. Still a lot of muscle under there, but also a lot of very soft curves. Chopper was waving a syringe and asking for blood samples and measurements. Luffy was picking his nose, waiting for his crew to get over it and set sail.
"But Zoro, how could you be so stupid? Especially after he said it wouldn't dissipate on its own. What are you going to do now?"
"Train."
Train?
Dumbass. Marimo. Melorine. Dug! Thud. 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 "Yeah."
Zoro drew Wado and examined his stance with fierce attention. "I've lost some of my reach and core strength, but my speed has improved. I'll catch up on the rest with proper training."
"You mean you're okay to stay like that?"
Nami asked weakly.
"But why would you want?"
"Not saying I wanted this, but hey, now that it's happened, what the hell? It's not gonna stop me. Hell, it's not even gonna slow me down. Breasts never stopped anybody from fighting, and I'll prove it. You'll see, I'm going to be the greatest swordsman and the greatest swordswoman in existence," said Zoro, with a gleam in his eyes which even his nakama, who loved him, had to admit bordered on deranged. He also seemed to be addressing the white-hilted sword rather than his friends. In the silence that followed, Sanji's hollow groan sounded very loud. "What's with stupid?"
Zoro grunted, sliding Wado back into its scabbard and tilting his chin in Sanji's direction. Robin spoke up for the first time since Zoro had come aboard in his altered state.
"I believe Cook-san is suffering from confused signals."
"Oh?" said Zoro, without comprehension. Then, "Oh. Oh-ho!
You better tell that freaking pervert that if he tries to fawn over me, I will mince him. He hits on me, I hit right back." "Like I do that, you piece of cross-dressing seaweed."
"Oi, Love Cook, watch your mouth. These are real," exclaimed Zoro, jabbing two thumbs at the objects in question.
"Ugh!" Thud. "Just Zoro." Thud. "Just stupid Zoro." Thud. "Just stupid Merimo, shithead Zoro, Chuan. Ugh! Make it stop, make it stop."
"Robin?" Nami appealed to the last bastion of sanity aboard. "You know a lot about devil fruit. Is this effect really going to last?"
"It's very doubtful. Most devil fruit effects of this kind fade if not maintained. Swordsman-san will unfortunately not remain female for very long."
Nami looked at Sanji, who was alternating between giving Zoro horrified ogles and attempting to concuss himself, to Chopper, who was running after Zoro with a thermometer and an order to go lie down in the infirmary, to Franklin and Usopp, whose jaws had hit the deck as Zoro took up his usual post near his weights and whipped his shirt off. In the background, Sanji fainted dead away. To Luffy, who was on the figurehead, eyes gleefully fixed on a horizon full of adventure instead of the utter insanity on board. Nami rubbed her ear. Unfortunately, Robin, I'm sorry, but did you just say unfortunately? I suppose Swordsman San's condition will present a few interesting situations in the coming weeks, but he seems set on this. Surprisingly so, considering how most men would react to this. It makes me wonder why.
Well, you do that, said Nami, with a stiff shake of her head. I'll go do what I do best, which is steer this ship and keep myself sane. Oh, Zoro, come with me, and I'll introduce you to the wonderful world of support.
Support? What kind of?
Just come along, idiot, and for God's sake, put on a shirt!
Very interesting situations, murmured Robin, and smiled gently at the horizon.
The end! Crazy, crazy rainbow star! Twinkle, twinkle, rainbow star! Cobalt, blue, 何色を重ねていこう Crazy, crazy rainbow star! Twinkle, twinkle, rainbow star! 瞳に映った悲しいリアルを壊せ ぬくもり月の羽を開けよう 旬なだって欲しい心から歌うのさ If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening! Reader's notes. So this is the first One Piece podfic I have recorded, and I'm already planning on more. And, okay, so I got into One Piece, like, a week ago or something. If I don't have all of the character voices down, especially Robin's or Tony's, that's because I haven't actually met them in the show yet. And I'm also not recording, this has a omake version, but I definitely haven't met those characters. So I'm not recording the omake version. I might once I've met them in the show. I really, really love this story, and I would honestly like 100k more of where it doesn't wear off. And Zoro just, like, goes about doing his shit as a lady.